giving people revelation and fresh application. Let our eyes be open to behold him, Christ Jesus, as he sees us in him. Amen. Hallelujah. We continue our teaching on so great salvation. That's on the subject of salvation. If this is your first time hearing this, it's not our first time teaching it. We have been on this, I think the first time we started this series was 7 years ago. Right? Amen. Now, I'm not asking you, I'm not blaming you for not being around 7 years ago. I'm just trying to let you know that we have been on this subject for some time. And the subject of salvation, and we resumed it again last week Sunday. We had sometime yesterday, I think 2 sessions. Am I right? You don't know because you don't know. 2 sessions, right? Yesterday. Praise the Lord. How many of you believe salvation is a major subject? Just a few of us. All right, so let's talk about singing and dancing. How many of you believe salvation is a major subject? You believe that? You've got to really understand it. What is salvation? What is not salvation? And so that's why we're studying, praise God. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. Pay good attention. As we learn. 2 Timothy 2:15. As Paul speaking to Timothy, he says, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ." Now, the holy scriptures, every time you read the word holy scriptures, or the scriptures in the epistles, they're definitely referring to the Old Testament books. Okay? Is that very clear? Okay, the Old Testament books. The epistles were never called holy scriptures. There was a reference like that by Paul, Peter, in 2 Peter 3, 15 and 16, where he referred to the letters of Paul as do other scriptures. You see, but actually, that's the only place where that stands out. However, when you read the word holy scriptures, even in the four, whether it's in the four gospels, in the epistles, and the book of Acts, you're referring, or they were referring to the Old Testament books. So in other words, he's Timothy being told by Paul that you have known Genesis to Malachi. That is, the word known there is a word used in the Greek hoida, something you're familiar with and you appreciate it. You've been able to evaluate it well, and then you appreciate it. That is, you know the value of something. That is, you've come to see the value of the Old Testament books. And he says, what's the value? He says that it is able to make thee wise, which is the Greek word sophizo. Remember sophizo? Means you become an expert. That is, you are now clever. You are now intelligent. We saw it yesterday. It also means that you are now an elite. Alright? You are now educated. Alright? And in salvation through faith, which is in Christ. And that will be our emphasis this morning. Notice, he didn't say, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. Okay, the question will be, which salvation? But it says salvation, which is through faith, right, or by faith, which is in Christ Jesus. He says salvation unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. In other words, he's saying, he's not talking about just any kind of salvation. You know, we said the word, Greek word for salvation is the word soteria. Okay, which is also soterion, which is taken from sozo. Sozo means to save, which sometimes or at times is even used for healing. Is that okay? Is that okay? It's used for healing. Sometimes it's even used for rescue from danger. But you're saying, when you understand this doctrine, okay, you're an expert in salvation through faith, which is in Christ. Now, let me quickly say this. For many of us believers, myself included, we always thought, for many of us, I don't know about you maybe, but because I know about myself, but many of us, we always thought salvation is what we did at the altar call. So, you say, are you saved? The guy says, yes. How do you know? Ah, that day when they told me about my sins, I broke down in tears. And I came out. And when I came out, they prayed for me. And I said the sinner's prayer. Many of you know the sinner's prayer by heart. So, my Heavenly Father, Heavenly Father, I come to you now. I come in the name of Jesus Christ. I admit I am a sinner. Like you've been arguing about it before. I admit I am a sinner. And I accept that you died for me. That's even mild. You can say, I confess all my sins, known and unknown, and the ones yet to be done. That you should please kindly have mercy on me and don't kill me for them. Just accept me the way I am. And then you can make some commitment like a promise. You know, I promise not to do anything to tarnish your name. In Jesus' name. Amen. So a couple of times we think that's what salvation is. Okay. Well, we're going to study some and we're going to see what it is. Paul says salvation through faith in Christ. I'm tempted to go into some of this, through faith, which is in Christ. Now, notice how he stresses it. Salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Look at Acts 26. Acts 26. Paul the Apostle, he was talking about the gospel he was sent to preach. Remember very well that he had a vision in Acts 9 where he met the Lord Jesus on the road to Damascus. The two experiences actually. The first one was on the road to Damascus. Second was while he was at the house. Okay? So he begins to explain and make what we call a defense of his gospel. Something like it was before Festus. So he's making a defense of his gospel. So he goes about and he talks about the vision. But the critical part is what he now said the Lord told him to do. Look at 17. Delivering thee from the people and the Gentiles. In other words, the people there is the Jews. And unto whom now I send you. To open their eyes. Pay attention to this. To open their eyes. And to turn from darkness to light. Please look at your Bible. And the power of Satan unto God. Acts 26, 18. That they might receive, or they may receive, forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Did you notice that there was something that was key in this commission? It is to receive forgiveness of sins. Someone say receive. Very good. To receive forgiveness of sins. Now, before we go there, look at a couple of other things that were mentioned. It says, from darkness to what? Light. From darkness to light. Now, I don't know about you. I never could have thought I was in darkness. But he said, from darkness to light. From darkness to light. From the power of Satan. Unto God. The word power of Satan. And did you notice that if you take those words and you go to Colossians 1, 12, 13 and 14, they are like verbatim. Go to Colossians 1, 12 to 13 and 14. They are like verbatim. Because these words read through Paul's letters. They are like verbatim words. Go there. Still out there? It says to turn them from what? To open their eyes. That's the first thing, right? From what? Turn from darkness to light. Now look at Colossians 1:12. Let's read it together. Let's go. Giving thanks to who? The Father, who has made us what? Meat. Now the word meat there is not like fried meat. Meat there is qualified to be feet. Alright? Okay, go right again. Who has made us meat to be what? Partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Did you see that? Now look at the next verse. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. So you see, power of darkness is repeated. power, darkness. Satan isn't mentioned at all. Power, darkness, and has translated us into the kingdom of his own dear son. See that again. 14 now, go to 14. In who now? In who? No. 13. How does 13 end? In his dear son. So in who, that verse 14 will be in who? So we can read 14 independently. In his dear son, what is Christ, we have what? Redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So, in other words, the deliverance from the power of darkness and atoning from darkness to light and the inheritance of the saints is what? Forgiveness of sins. Mark that, because is very critical to our study this morning. Forgiveness of sins. So go back to Acts 26. So look at it. I mean, do we have are those texts similar? Come on, talk to me. Are those texts similar? Okay, so go to Acts 26. Acts 26, 18 again. It says that they might receive. Notice, he didn't ask us to receive in Colossians. He says he has already made us partakers. Because he's writing to believers. Are you there? Come on, talk to me. Are you there? No, sometimes we lose sight of tenses in the Bible. I saw a book by a man who says he's a deliverance minister. So the book was Deliverance. That's the title. Lovely title. I don't have a problem with deliverance. I'm also a deliverance minister. You believe that, don't you? You sound like I was joking. I wasn't joking. I'm a deliverance minister. So I saw the book, so I felt, let me see what he has to say. And I was surprised that the very first text he opened with was Colossians 1:13. And my heart was glad that, wow, this man is going to go, give it a good go in the word. So he said, Colossians 1:13, he quoted it. He said, while it is true, this is how he said it, that we have been delivered, because those words are in the past tense. Who has made us, right? That's not future, right? Okay. Who has delivered us, in whom we shall have. Is that what it says in 14? In whom we have, right? So, he said, even though it is true that we have been delivered, however, and I said, wow, seems like the devil. Has God said, remember, that's what the devil said. You shall not surely die. So he said, we know in our experiences that we still have troubles with demons. Did you observe that Paul did not mention Satan in Colossians 1:13? Did you observe that? He just said power of darkness. In other words, Satan without those elements is just powerless. The elements of darkness is just powerless. So he didn't mention him. Is he following this? Good. Let's see what happened. So notice in Colossians, Acts 26 verse 18, he says that we might receive. That they might receive. That's a very vital word there. That they might what? Receive. That word receive is an active tense. It's a Greek word lambano. L-A-M-B-A-N-O. Lambano. Someone say lambano. Lambano. L-A-M-B-A-N-O. Lambano means, now it's an active tense. I'll give you an instance now. If you send a text to my phone, you say, I received it. That means the phone will receive it. Right? I think these days we have those with screen text messages. I think so. There's one software now, so that I won't sound outdated. But the normal thing is someone sends you an email, it comes into your box. You know, you say, I received it, even though you did nothing. There was nothing on your part. It was just, he sent it, and it just got into your box. That's receiving too. But see, lambano is not like that. Lambano is an active tense on the part of the recipient. In other words, listen to this. I saw an earlier Greek explanation. It says, it's accepted with initiative. That means the initiative is from you. Do you get it? Do you understand? Do you understand what I just said? The initiative is from you. So, if I'm going to translate that word receive today in modern day language, you know, today we have our own language, right? If you, for instance, you're talking to someone and you say, what is happening now? You know, now in English means time. But in our own everyday usage, it means the emphasis of how far. You get it? So really, so in today's language, if I'm going to use lambano, I'll use the word take. You get it? To take. Something to take. So that means there's an initiative. If I say take this. Now, if I do like this, if I slap her with this, she has received the slap, but she did not take the slap. Do you get it? So when I was in secondary school, we took slaps. And I'm not joking. Senior will tell you, I want to slap you. So you won't, you just do like this. There was a time I got it so much on my leg, and I just, so there was one guy like that, Aminu Kazim. He might help me one day. He can't do anything for me. He was my senior then. He used to do like this, and he put water on your cheeks. I mean, so, very crazy stuff. Sometimes you ask you and your best friend to slap yourselves. That's one of the most wicked things. And so I had a friend like that. I slapped him mildly. And so he told the guy that he doesn't know how to slap. Let me teach you how to slap so you can slap him well. So he gave the guy a dirty slap. And the guy decided not to be a Pascal lamb. And the guy faced me and gave me a very dirty slap. I said, yeah! Get out of my side. He said, we're going. I said, I don't want him to kill me. So lambano, you take it, right? Now, I could do like this. I threw it at you. Take. But I can say, you can have this. That means you'll have to stretch your hands to take it. So, please note that word. 261 times. So, there's an active thing on the part of the person it was given to. Now, the word that we need to see also there, coming back to it, is the word forgiveness. Forgiveness. Now, every time you read forgiveness in the Bible, particularly epistles, do not think it's the same kind of forgiveness we get amongst ourselves. I, for instance, know that when I was younger, you offend my father, there's a way you get forgiveness from him. Sometimes you do nice things, sometimes you cry, sometimes you do all sort of stuff, and then he looks at you. Then, after a while, maybe your grandmother will come and talk on your behalf. She's a mediator. My mom wasn't a good mediator. I think my mom would say, sometimes my mom would just say things like, that's how he did to me too last week. So she's a very bad person to talk to. But my grandmother will go there and then do some intercessory work. And then my dad will say something like, okay. And then we will go. But the next morning, he will act it out. He's not going to, remind you by talking. But he'll remind you by not talking. Do you understand? And then, good morning, sir. Morning. You understand? And then you walk away. So, between that period and other times, you try to make it up. You know, I'll be doing nice things, and you just be a nice boy. You get it? And so, then you start to respond better. You know, better. So, maybe later on, that you do something, and then you say, Remember you told me. Sorry. You told me you won't do it again. Now that's our understanding of forgiveness. That it means just let go. Let go. Just let go, you know, kind of thing, you know. But you see, forgiveness in the Bible is not the same thing like that. It's quite stronger than that. It's a word that is it's so strongly used in Scripture. That's why they questioned Jesus when he used it. The question is, do you think you have the power to do this? It is the Greek word aphesis. A-P-H-E-S-I-S. Aphesis. And I'll give you references that will come back there later. Remember Matthew 26:28, when Jesus said that in his blood, this is the new covenant in my blood, shed for the remission of sins. So I say remission. Good. And then you also see it in Luke's Gospel 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me, all right, to preach deliverance. All right, deliverance. Now, people have thought he's talking about casting out devils. No. The word deliverance means aphesis. So Jesus' message in the earth was aphesis. Do you get that? To preach deliverance. That word deliverance there is to set free. Aphesis. That's why the Greek scholars, the translator of King James now use deliverance. Because of the word aphesis, what it means. So they replace it with deliverance. Are you listening? Are you listening? Now, you also see it in Luke's Gospel 24, verse 47. I'm coming to all that. I'm just giving you these references to see how strong these words were used by Jesus. When he said to the disciples, and he said to them, he said, he in his name showed repentance and remission of sins be preached in all nations. Okay? That's the word aphesis. Luke's Gospel 24 and then verse 47. Are you still in church? Thank you. So, look at the book of Acts. The book of Acts also uses this word aphesis a couple of times. Look at Acts 2:38, Peter. He says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost and forgiveness of sins. Are you there? Are you there? Okay. Forgiveness of sins. You shall receive, in the name of the Lord, for the remission of sins, pardon me, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So it says remission of sins. Look at Acts of the Apostles again, chapter 5, verse 31. Him, talking about Jesus, hath God, Acts 5:31, hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, ruler, that's the word prince, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Did you notice again? He gave forgiveness of sins. So, if he gave forgiveness of sins, that means forgiveness of sins should be what? Received. He said, shall be preached in his name, keruso in the Greek, to be announced in his name. Luke 24:47. Acts 13:38. Still there? No, Acts 10:43 first. Acts 10:43. Is Peter speaking here? To him, talking about Jesus, give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever what? Believes in him, should what? Should receive forgiveness of sins. Whosoever believes, should what? Receive. That's the word lombano. Now let's change the word. Should what? Take. Or say, take by himself. What would that be? Forgiveness of sins. What's more? Now look at Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians verse 7. Well, let's take that together. If you're around yesterday, I want you to read this scripture according to what I told you yesterday. Let me see whether you remember. Now let's go. In whom? Through his blood. What did you say? All right, the word of sins is not in the original. All right. So we receive forgiveness. All right. That's the word aphesis. All right. Let's go further. Colossians 1:14. Colossians 1:14. Let's go. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Hebrews 9:22. Almost all things are by the Lord purchased with blood. And without shedding of blood is no remission. That word remission is the same word, aphesis. In Hebrews 10:18. Let's take it together. Now, where remission of this is, there's number what? Of purpose. Now look at 17, what's talking about? And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Mark that, that's vital. So, the word aphesis, notice it says, will I remember no more. Which is the word mimnesco, remember? Remember no more. I will not talk about it. I will not consider it. It will not come up in our discussions. Now listen to this. This is key. The word aphesis actually means to take away. To send away. That's the reason the King James put it at preach deliverance. To send away. So, in whom we have received the sending away of sins. Or the taking away of sins. Just about what John, the Baptist said about Jesus in John's Gospel chapter 1 verse 29. Now don't forget, John the Baptist is not John's gospel. They are two different people. He says, behold the Lamb of God that takes away, all right, the sin of the whole world. And that comes in now. That takes away the sin of the whole world. So forgiveness is not pardon. Forgiveness means that there will be no record of it. You understand? There will be no reference to it. That's what forgiveness is. It's taken away. That's what they take away to where? So there will be no record of it. So let's get back. Now, that is so important. That if you don't understand it, you will never be able to grasp salvation. So, go back to that 2 Timothy 3, verse 15 one more time. 2 Timothy 3:15. Which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is where? In Christ Jesus. Someone say, maybe there, there's some people that have the thinking that, maybe there are other ways that God has different ways it deals with us. I remember I had to talk to a professor about this late last year. He said, to some people, is a Christian expression. To some, is Islamic expression. Is there to others? He was talking about different expressions. Then I said, this is just how I said it to him, and he kind of said, well, I said, That would be so unfair on Jesus. If the power, let's assume it is so. Because Jesus at the garden, he kind of stood out and said, is this the only way? Or is there some other way? And the Father said, this is the only way. You mean I've got to die? Yeah, that's the only way. So he died, he suffered. Then you say, can we add other ways? That would be so unfair on Jesus. I hope you get my logic. Come on, I don't know whether you understand what I'm saying. He died, and then you're saying, well, and you let other guys to just hang loose and be preaching and taking their ideas. He became the sacrifice. And then you say there are other ways. And sometimes if you're just a good guy, what God sees that eventually are your works. What did you do in life? What did your fellow human beings? And we used to watch films when we were younger and Yoruba films now. And people get to heaven always in the cloud. I don't know how they got that idea, but this. Everybody's hanging in the cloud. So spooky. And then you're coming up and then you find the angels always wearing white too. And they're always looking very silly. The angels. So they have a scale. They put your good works and then your bad works. And then many times one is going up. Now, the one going up by your good works, you know what that means. You say, ha ha. See, you don't need some folks here, as they put the good works and bad works, it even doesn't go bad, you just go, whoop, throws away the good work. Pow! He said, don't bother, let me tell you know where you are going already, you know? And that's the idea that we have. But he says salvation through faith, which is in Christ. Not that word faith in Christ. That word faith in Christ is I call it a password, an operating word in the Bible. Faith in Christ. Tell me faith in Christ. Now let's look through what faith in Christ, what he does. Romans chapter 3, because remember, put your hands in there and go back to Paul's defense again. He said, which is by faith in me. Remember? Verse 18. Faith in me. So wait. So that means, and this is key because I'm coming to this later. It's a key point of this particular series. Forgiveness of sins is not automatic. I know some folks that preach something like everybody in the world is forgiven. I think that's one of the most stupid things people can say. It's not true. The Bible didn't teach that. You may call it universalism or something like that. That everybody's, you know, saved. And they don't just know it. Chat the fellow up and I said, you're also stupid and you just don't know it. Same thing. Anyway, that's by the way. So, look at it. Romans 3, verse 22. Are you there? Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all that what? Believe. For there is no difference. So the righteousness of God is by what? Come on, it's by what? Faith. Faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all that believe. Look at verse 26. To say at this time his righteousness that he might be what? Just. And the justifier of him that believes in Jesus. You see that? It's not the justifier for the whole world. It's a justifier for him that what? In other words, who has faith in Christ Jesus. So that word comes up over and over again. He calls it the law of faith in verse 27. Note that, the law of faith. Look at verse 25. Whom God has set forth to be a proposition through faith, faith where? Now mark that key. Faith where? In his blood. Come on. So it says faith in Christ, faith of Jesus, believing in Jesus. So he brings out an element in verse 25. He says, faith in his blood. Because there are people that believe that Jesus was sent to this world by God. They believe he's a prophet. They believe he's a great man. They don't doubt his miracle. They don't even doubt his good deeds. Many don't doubt it. They don't doubt that he was a good man. Don't mind all these other silly things that talk about him having a wife or stupid things like that. But you see, they say, I believe it. Mahatma Gandhi once said that if every person should practice the teachings of Jesus, the whole world will be filled with love. And I felt, okay, Mahatma, what about why he came? Jesus did not come to this world to teach Sermon on the Mount. When he was born, on his birthday, the day he was born, he was told he was going to die. That's why he came. But Mahatma Gandhi rejects the death of Jesus. See? So, faith in Christ must be qualified. It's not faith in, I just know Jesus is a good man. I know, I believe in Jesus. Mm-mm. Faith where? In his blood. So I say faith in his blood. Say like him, I say faith in his blood. Look at chapter 5 verse 1. The word faith is the word pistis. It means to rely upon. To be persuaded of. Romans 5 1. Being justified by what? By what? Faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we can say, being justified by faith through our Lord Jesus Christ, we have peace with God. We're in order, right? Okay, good. So Romans 5 and 1. Look at the word justified. It's coming up. Just, justified, righteous. It's a word that is very critical to this explanation. The word justified means dikaio in the Greek. Straight, very simple spelling. D-I-K-A-I-O-O. Or D-I-A, sorry. K-A-I-O-O. 39 times. It's used for defending a cause. It's used for defending a cause. That is, someone is defending the other. Justified. Again, it's taken from the word dike in the Greek, D-I-K-E, which is a judicial approval. Judicial approval. That is to present grounds where the judge can say this man is not guilty. Grounds. To say this man is without guilt. In other words, to present grounds, pay attention to this, where judgment will not be passed on someone. Justified. Still out there? Still there? Okay, go ahead. Look at Galatians 2. Galatians 2 one more time. Verse 16. Knowing, and I want you to notice this now. Knowing that a man is not justified by what? I'll wait for you. By what? The works of the law, but by what? Faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by what? By the faith of Jesus Christ, or Christ, and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Now listen carefully. He is saying our justification, what approves us and makes us not guilty, is our faith in Christ. Our believing in Christ. Praise God. Still there? Look at Matthew 12. Matthew 12, Jesus said something about that. Same word, dark hell. Matthew 12, 37. He said, by your words, you are justified, and by your words, you will be condemned. What words? And don't take that out of context, because he was referring to those who reject the Holy Ghost. That's what he was talking about. He that speaks against the Holy Ghost, they will be condemned. By your words, you will be justified. By your words, you will be condemned. So by my words. And we're going to see that faith in Christ Jesus is by believing in the heart and confessing with the mouth. Said, by your words you will be condemned, and by your words you will be what? Justified. Are you still there? Acts 13 one more time. Verse 39. Acts 13. Verse 39. We were there earlier. Okay, let's start from 38. We're not there. Be it known unto you, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you what? I'll wait for you. Unto you what? So, have you noticed that the gospel is called the preaching of forgiveness of sins? Huh? Come on. Have you noticed that? Unto you is this man preached what? The message of forgiveness of sins. So say forgiveness of sins. Good. Now the 39. Let's say 39 together. And by him, everybody, by him, I what? From all things from which they could not be justified by the law of Moses. Hallelujah. How many believe here this morning? Just a few people? How many believe? Say, I'm justified from all things. Say, I'm justified. Praise God. So, justified means have been approved judicially not to be judged. That's what it means. Justified. Go back to Romans 2:13. Romans 2:13. Not the heirs of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. So if you're going to be justified by the law, see, you're going to be a doer of the law. But he tells you in chapter 3, in verse 4 again, he says, God forbid, God is true, if my lie, as with thou, that thou mayest be justified by thy sins, and mayest overcome when thou hast judged. He's presenting a case about the law here. So he goes in 20, verse 20, Romans 3. Therefore, okay, let's take it together. Therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Look at 24. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Look at 26. To declare, I say, at this time is righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him that believes in Jesus. Look at 28. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Look at 30. Seeing it one God, which shall justify the sacrificial by faith, and the sacrificial through what? Faith. So, justification is by what? Huh? Faith. Not by deeds. Not by actions. Justification, that is righteousness, is by faith. It's by faith. And do not forget, I said that word means that there's a defense in your favor. Now go to Romans 4. Let's read it. Verse 2. For if Abraham were justified by works, he had whereof to glory, but not before God. If he were justified by works. So verse 5 now. Let's take verse 5 together, but let's go. To him that walks not. Oh, glory to God. Did you see that? To him that what? Walks not. But believes on him that justifies the ungodly. Hold on. He justifies who? He justifies who? The ungodly means ungodly. Right? I think that's a simple way of saying it. Ungodly will mean ungodly. God justifies the ungodly. He's not justifying ungodliness. Praise God. He's justifying the ungodly. How does he justify the ungodly? Watch it. The next verse, or the next statement. His faith is what? So, what is the faith? What is righteousness there? Faith. Faith becomes righteousness. Believing in. I believe. Praise God. See, that faith is now put in his account as righteousness. Now, faith in who? Faith in Christ. Which is that is faith in his blood. Come in there. Still out there? Are you still there? Faith in Christ. Now go again. Romans 5:4. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 9. Much more now, being justified by what? His blood. Someone say his blood. Excellent. We shall be saved from wrath through him. Wrath there means judgment. We shall be saved from wrath through him. Romans 6 and 7. Thanks be unto God. If you have the King James too, this is wrongly translated. So ignore this. Praise God. Now, we can start from the first verse. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Say, I'm dead to sin. I'm dead to sin. No, that he didn't say we're dying to sin. Praise God. Past tense. So we're dead to sin. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. Say, I've been baptized into his death. So when he says we are dead to sin, he's referring to identification. He's actually talking about Christ's death. That when you believe that, then you're dead to sin. You following this? Are you following this? Remember, my brother, a friend of mine, we grew up together. No, we used to grow up together. You know, Bible says, I've said the right things. He had this doctrine that I also used to have, but I quit it. They call it dying to self. And then we will be praying and say, Lord, kill me tonight. Something that's silly. I never said it like that. Though I preached it, but I never said it that way. I said it different. And so he will say, Lord, I'm going to die tonight. Brother Aziz, that's his name. I'm going to die tonight. I'm going to die tonight. Tonight, take me, just you. That's what it means. All of you, none of me. All of you, none of me. Just like when Paul says, yet not I. That word is in Italy. It's not in the original. Yet not I. Yet not I. Praise God. It is if any man be in Christ, that man is a new creation. It is you. I'm a new creation. Hallelujah. All of you, none of me, let me be absent and you alone present. That is not what God wants. You have to be present. Hallelujah. Whoever is joined together with the Lord is one spirit with him. Praise God. Yeah, take away all of me, just you. And you cry and cry and sleep off. So one day I got close. I said, Brother Aziz, rise from the dead. You are sleeping. He got pretty annoyed that day. Because I felt this was just silly, really. You know, when you don't understand the word of God, you'll be believing in your activities. Do you get it? You have so much faith in your activities. After all, I was in church throughout last week. In fact, I even got there, they said there was no service. I did this, I do this. So what went wrong? You get it. So he says we're free. Praise God. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism unto death, but as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we shall walk in newness of life. For he have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Let's take seven together. He that is dead, he's freed from sin. That word freed is the word aphesis. Same word. Remission from sins. Same word. Romans 8, say I'm free from sin. What did we say that meant yesterday? That means from the judgment. Remember? Though that started yesterday, right? From what? The judgment of sin. Thank you. Romans 8:33. That's why it's not good to miss church. Romans 8:33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God, glory to God, that justifies. Praise God. Say, I am justified. Praise the name of the Lord. So that means there's a defense for you. That's what it means, right? That's what it means? Praise God. There's a defense for you. Did you notice something we have been reading so far? He says this justification is found in Christ. Right? It's not found in you, it's not found in your actions. It's not found in your doings. It's found in Christ. You only accessed it by faith. This justification is found in Christ. Eight ways to possess your possession. Eight ways. Number one way, acknowledge you have a possession. Number two, check your life. Number three, check your mind. You know, why people teach like that is because they're used to Mount Sinai. They're used to Mount Sinai. And Jesus sent people to preach the gospel. You know, he didn't say, go into all the world and tell them this. Number one, accept that I died. Number two, accept that I died for you. Number three, accept that you are a sinner. Number four, accept that if you don't accept, you'll be rejected. Number five, he said, go into all the world and preach he that believes. That's why it's called the word of faith. Hallelujah. The gospel is not a code of conduct. You hear what I'm saying? It's not a good code of conduct. I've seen people give altar calls and I know God's merciful. You know. And they give altar calls and say, cry unto him! And they all be, anybody? Yeah. Cry unto him! Say, God, have mercy on me! In altar call. I want to ask a question. What if in the process this is not supposed to happen, but the person falls down and then dies? Why is he trying to cry out? You get it? I told someone one time watching TV, I said, the minute they heard the message, their coming out is not the salvation. Their coming out is to let you know that they're saved. Praise the Lord. You hear what I'm saying? Praise God. He said, so don't think that, now that doesn't mean that people shouldn't come out. They come out so that we can know who believed, so we can disciple them afterwards. You get it? And teach them the word. It's not the pastor's prayers. See, let me say, then the pastor will say, Heavenly Father, I pray. Forgive these ones. Who prays for you? That's the wrong theology. That criminal, that was that ex-criminal, was he called criminal? Well, criminal for doctrine's sake. He said, Lord, remember me when you get into your kingdom. And Jesus didn't say, you think I'm stupid? How many people did you kill? I don't have much time. Mention them now. Do you know their emails? I know you're already there. Apologize to each one of them. I'm about to say it is finished. You better be very quick. He didn't say any of those things. He said, I tell you today. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Say, you will be with me. Because he said, he that believes on me, where I am, he will be also. Hallelujah. He just believed. You know, he didn't go for membership class. I didn't say you should not go for membership class. He didn't write his name on any card. He said, John, John, beloved, you ran away. Peter, you said, get me the decision card. Get me the decision card. Mommy, or what's your name? Mary, don't cry. Decision card. This time is going. You know, we have so much faith in those activities and we lose sight of what would you have faith in. I got faith in his blood. Hallelujah. That's where righteousness is. It's not in what you do. It's in what he has done. That you have received. Glory to his name. Did you notice that we've been reading so far that you cannot be justified by works? Who said that? You cannot be. So, go to Galatians 3. Galatians 3, very key text. Galatians 3. I want you to follow this very well. Remember what Paul said to Timothy? He said, he's able to make thee wise unto salvation through what? Faith in Christ, which is in Christ. Galatians 3:22. But the scripture had concluded all on the scene that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to who? Them that believe. Notice the word them that believe. Verse 22. Them that believe. The promise of faith. So mark the word faith. But before faith came, we were shut up under the law. So they shut up. That's like, keep quiet. We're kept under the law. Shut up unto the faith. I think I like that word. Shut up. Someone's trying to preach the law. Shut up unto faith. What about that? That looks cool, right? Shut up unto faith. Shut up unto the faith. You didn't get me, did you? Shut up unto the faith which afterwards should be revealed. Shut up unto the faith. He says to be revealed. Why did he say revealed? The word revealed is the Greek word akatakaluptos or apokaluptos. Where you have apokalypsis, which is to bring something to light. In other words, that means that the law shielded man from seeing faith in Christ. The law shielded man. He said that faith is now revealed. Because by the deeds of the law, no man will be justified. He said, now this will be revealed, that is, it will be brought to light. That means brought to light will mean it was in existence. That's why you find Moses was not justified by the law he gave. He was justified by faith. Same with David. Because the law shielded faith in Christ. It was now brought to light. For all. Praise God. Are you still there? Why, how did the Lord do that? Watch this. He says, through the faith that will afterward be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster, talking to the Jews now, bringing us unto Christ. The word bring us there is a wonderful, wonderful, injustice. I have to measure my words. Injustice. How would the law bring you to Christ? That is a contradictory statement. We just read that the law called it all on the sin. We just read that by the deeds of the law shall no one be justified. How can the law then bring you to Christ? Are you still out there? Come on, are you there? So that's wrong italicized words. He says the law was our schoolmaster. Schoolmaster. Okay. Is the word, you have two words there. You have the paidon used for children. Paidagogos. P-A-I-D-A-G-O-G-O-S. You see, Paul using 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15. He says, you might have 1,000 instructors, okay, but not many fathers. Instructors. Now that word is not the same as teacher. Remember, teacher is what? That's kalon, remember? Huh? But that's not the word. And then, he's an overseer, like a caretaker. A caretaker that does not give any kind of instructions or pass information across to you. Actually, the word paidagogos can be used also for someone who is given to you so that you cannot go anywhere. So, you can have paidagogos and then have him bring you to Christ. Paidagogos means someone who holds you up, who shuts you up. Do you get it? Because in the Greek it's like an overseer, but it can't be episcopos, because episcopos is one who comes to you closely and who brings the word to you. So paidagogos means who just makes sure a child doesn't, you know those folks that you, I don't know how, you can't call them nanny, maybe you can call them nanny. That all they do is just ensure that the child, when he poo-poos, they clean up. You cannot ask the nanny to raise your child for you. The nanny is basically supposed to just make sure that a child doesn't, children can be so funny. Can go and bring out the electric, cable and want to suck it. So all the paidagogos does is, hey, that's all they do. Paidagogos will not bring you knowledge. You get it? So the law was a schoolmaster. Do you understand that? Is that clear? Is that clear to you? That's why I said, we were shut up. Praise God. Kept under the law. Paidagogos. The law was our schoolmaster. Okay? Under Christ, that we might be justified. That word unto is till Christ. You get it? You understand? Do you get it now? Is it better for you? So you change the word unto to till Christ? The law was our schoolmaster till Christ, not unto Christ. The Lord doesn't bring you to Christ. Is that clear? Let me see your hand that's clear to you. Come on, wait a minute. Is it clear? Okay. So the law was our schoolmaster till Christ. Praise God. Hallelujah. See that? Okay. So notice how many times we've mentioned faith here. Verse 22. Faith, believe. Verse 23. Faith, two times. Verse 24. Justified by faith. Verse 25. After faith is come. Praise God. We are no longer under what? He didn't say after we are taken to faith. After faith is come. So faith came to set us free from the law, not the law took us to faith. Do you get it? Do you understand that? Come on, do you understand that? So what faith are we talking about? Faith in Christ. After faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. Glory to God. I said glory to God. Look at 26. For you are all, thank you Lord Jesus, we are all children of God. By what? Faith in Christ. It's not that everybody in the world is a children of God. No, that's not true. We are children of God by faith in Christ. We are the world. And that's we are the children. Michael Jackson and Lionel Richie. We are the world to make it a better place. So let's start giving. That's a USA 85, right? Mara? Is it 85? Huh? It's not 86. USA 85 or something. We are the world. For the issue of Africa, children are naked, run around, quite circle. Yes, what? To raise money. We are all children of God by what? Praise God. We are children by faith where? In Christ. So what singular truth, what singular action is required for justification? Faith in Christ. Let me say this quickly, because this is so critical now. Faith in Christ alone. So somebody asked yesterday, sometimes is it just believing? You know, it's just believing. After that, no faith in Christ alone. Praise God. Not faith plus, Not faith plus, A couple of times, you know, sometimes we'll do evangelism can be confusing. Somebody gets born again, and he says, I believe in my heart, and praise God for your life now. Sister, I thank God for your life. However what? You know, because you are now a new creature, things have to be changing. New creature. You know, new creature means things are going to be changing. You have to change your friends. You have to change what you are wearing. Now, I know sometimes we're trying to help people, but you see, that's the wrong kind of help. That's the wrong kind of help. When a man receives the gospel of Christ, he first needs to understand what happened. Not what will happen after. What happened to him? What exactly happened to him? So, the kind of clothes we wear as new creatures. Did you see what the pastor wore? Did you see what that sister? Did you see what they wear? Yeah. Those kind of things. You have to get used to it. On the first day. So, those are the kind of things that when people say, are you supposed to believe me? A guy accused me years back. He said, don't mess with that guy. He's a new generation preacher. I don't have a problem with that. He said, he's always just preaching, just believe. Is he only believing? And he's preaching. And he was very, you know, some people are very emotional when they are talking. So you can be manipulated by them. Is he only believing? I've been a Christian for how many years? I know this. Is he only believing? Ask yourself, is he only believing that you have been staying in the faith? Is he only believing? You have been staying in the faith. Is he only believing? Everybody says, that guy doesn't have been Christian for a long time. It's true, sister. And I told you, don't read his Facebook. I told you. Thank you, guy. Pastor, right on. It's when we get to everybody will see themselves. They will know the real truth. Many pastors will not go on the judgment day. Praise the Lord. Ephesians chapter 1. So I've got faith in Christ. Faith alone. You know, don't say that like me.
Faith alone.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Faith alone. That's salvation. Faith alone. Ephesians 1:3. 1:1, sorry. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, to the faithful, that means believers in Christ. Faithful in Christ. Colossians 1:2. Same thing. Colossians 1:2. To the faithful brethren in Christ, believers. Ephesians 2:8. For by grace are you saved. How? Through faith. Glory to God. I'm saved through faith. Praise the name of Jesus. Notice the prepositions. Through faith. We're going to look at the prepositions if we have time. Through faith in Christ. Through faith by in Christ. Christ. Subject matter. Christ. Preposition. Through. In. By. But singular truth is faith in Christ. Faith by Jesus. Faith of Jesus. So the subject matter doesn't change. The prepositions are the same. Are you listening to what I'm saying? You know, there's this teaching around that says, believe in yourself. That's not Bible. Bible doesn't need to believe in yourself. It says believe in Christ. Praise God. Faith in Christ alone. Thank you, Lord Jesus. See there? Yeah. Look at this. Philippians 3. Philippians 3. Verse 9. I love this text so much. It was one of the texts I read several years back, over 21 years ago, that made me understand the subject of righteousness. My eyes popped out. I read the book in 94 by a man by the name of John Osteen, not Joel, John Osteen. He's there. And the book, he quoted this text, and he quoted Romans 5:17, I like it. But this text just opened my eyes. And he said, Philippians 3:9, and be found in him. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm found in him. Not having my own righteousness, which is of the law. Are you there? But that which is through the faith of Christ. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The righteousness which is of God by faith. Look at the prepositions. Through, by. That already shows you, like I said earlier, not everybody that Jesus died for, he's forgiven. Because the preposition said it's for. You get it? By, through, in are prepositions that make not a condition, but they set the record straight. Praise God. Hallelujah. I don't have my own righteousness. I've got the righteousness of God. By faith. By faith. Say by faith. Say by faith. Say faith alone. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Salvation is faith alone. Glory to his name. Faith alone. So when Paul was teaching Timothy, that's what he meant. He said that it's able to make you wise unto what? Salvation through what? Faith in Christ. Now, I was saying yesterday, you must be able not just to understand salvation for yourself, which is true, you have to understand for yourself, but to others. You must be skillful. Skillful. The salvation is through faith. Now, when we say through faith, what do we mean? With faith in Christ, which is faith in his blood, or faith in his work, or faith in his salvation. Don't have faith in the altar call. Don't have faith in the confession. Mm-mm. Faith in Christ. Remember one time when we preached in a Muslim community, and they allowed us to preach, but they said, we must not give altar calls. So the guy went together and said, how are we going to do it? I said, do what? I said, do altar call. Because, how do we do it? How do you preach? I said, don't worry. Faith is by hearing. Praise God. And hearing by the message. I said, you don't have to come out. You have to come in. Praise God. You come in by believing. Praise God. There are some guys that come out and they've not believed. They are just so sorry for their sins. They say, Heavenly Father, Heavenly Father, I thank you. And they didn't believe the gospel. I thank you.
When he said, I know you died for me. I know you died for me. I'm a sinner. And they are not believing. So coming out is not salvation. Believing is where salvation is. I'm telling you, you'll be shocked when we get to heaven. I told someone, I said, don't you think it's possible that Muhammad got saved? He said, never. How? I said, doesn't take anything. For example, let me ask you a question. Who told the story of the thief on the cross? If you were his neighbor, would you have thought he got saved? That's it. Could you dance to bad drugs? Kill him! Bible says the wicked cannot go unpunished. You even quote the Bible. You know that's what you say? Jesus must have told that story. And I can see, the disciples say, hey, go see. That means spiritual, I'm saved. You know what I'm talking about here? I said, Muhammad, he doesn't take long. I remember one time we were younger, and they told us this particular traditionalist who he was on the deathbed. So a preacher told us that he went to visit him. And right on the deathbed, he was already sick in London. And the man preached the gospel to him and he believed. And one of my own friends said, just believe. What about all the things he has done? You know, somewhere in our minds, all renewed minds, we have this thing about, That's why today they say, Jesus is coming by 10 o'clock. And it's announced. Let's say the Body of Christ Broadcasting Corporation. So Jesus is coming by 10 o'clock. Some of you say, can I go to the restroom this year? Because you say, Heavenly Father, King of glory, Lion of the tribe of glory. I don't think it's too late to worship you. I don't have 20 minutes more, but I worship you. There's none like you. You are the father of all fathers. You are the, see. Bone everything. Bone. For the next 20 minutes, my thought will be so pure. How God faith alone. Hallelujah. Are you still there? So my thought, I would think somebody knocks the door of your house and says, Don't come in. I don't want to see anything, hear anything. See no evil, hear no evil. Talk no evil. I have 20 minutes more. Hallelujah. Hear this. You were never the Savior. He is the Savior. Hallelujah. Do you understand that? You were never the Savior. You get it? So really, it's not a faith in you. It's faith in Him. Glory to His name. Matthew's Gospel 1:21, quickly. For our text for the day, you know, I just said to say that. Don't worry, we're not taking long. You shall call his name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. He will save his people from their sins. Yesterday we said, the wages of sin is death. Romans 6:20, remember that. The wages of sin is death. So if he will save his people from their sins, it means he will die for them. Matthew's Gospel 1:21. Okay? So, the Savior from sins, wait for this. He is the Savior from the judgment of sins. He is a Savior, remember that word? Chrysis and Crema, remember? And Crino, yesterday, right? That's John's Gospel 3:16, 17, 18. He will save his people from the judgment of sins. That's what righteousness is. So, watch this. Matthew 26. Quickly. Matthew 26, verse 28. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for remission of sins. Which is the word forgiveness. Aphesis.
In other words, it's in his death and in his sacrifice that you find salvation. In his death and in his sacrifice that you find salvation. Salvation is not found in faith. Salvation is received by faith. Preposition faith. In faith. In Christ, not in faith. You get it? If I say salvation in faith, that means salvation is in faith. Salvation is in Christ by faith. You get it? That means I have faith in Christ. The salvation is where? In Christ. You still there? You get that? So, that's quick. So, it's not faith that saves you. It is Christ who saves. But faith receives what Christ has done. Praise God. Watch this now. Now, the word is half. This is a noun. The verb is the word apiemi. A-P-H-I-E-M-I. Verb 146 times. Apiemi. A-P-H-I-E-M-A. It means to send away or to take away. So Jesus' blood took away the sins. So if you're looking for the sins, they were taken away by his blood. Remission of sins. Same thing, Matthew 26:28, we just read that. Luke 24:47, Acts 10:43, Colossians 1:14, and Ephesians 1:7. Remission of sins in his blood. Go to Hebrews 10. So every time you read about forgiveness, forgiveness is not in confession. That's a wrong teaching that has stayed a long time around the body of Christ. Forgiveness is not in confession. There's nothing called confessing your sins in the new covenant. Now you hear, well, what about if John, 1 John 1:9? Well, 1 John 1:9 says if we confess our sins, is faithful to forgive, is faithful and just to forgive and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, if you remove the comma from confess our sins and comma to if we confess, comma, our sins. Do you get that? Is faithful and just to forgive. Because confession is confessing Christ. So when I confess Christ. Christ is the one who forgives, all right, and then cleanses from all unrighteousness. Now, I can't have more time on this today, but if you can lay your hands on our teaching, forgiveness of sins and repentance from sins, it's quite something, I think five sessions or six? Six teachings like that. It explains the concept of forgiveness. You get a Living Word Media stand or go on the website, www.livingwordmedia.org. It's very clear there, and I explain it in detail. Is that clear? Now, watch this. This is important. Forgiveness of sins is not in your confession. Forgiveness of sins is in his walk. That's why, look at Ephesians 1:7. He said, according to the riches of his grace. According to the riches of his grace. Colossians 1:14. In his blood. In his blood. His grace, his blood. So, forgiveness is not in my faith. Forgiveness is in Christ, in his blood. I receive it by what? Faith. Quickly go to Hebrews 10, 18. Is it out there? Is it out there? For where remission of this is, there is no more sacrifice for sins. What do you mean sacrifice for sins? Remission of this is. Chapter 9, verse 22. We're there earlier. Almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood is no what? Come on, is no what? So you cannot have forgiveness of sins without what? Notice it didn't say there is no without confession. Mm-mm. Without shedding of blood. So, this must be very clear. This must be very clear to us that it's the blood of Jesus that offers salvation. It's the blood of Jesus that offers remission of sins. This must be very clear. John 1:29. Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the whole world. Because that truth is situated in the practice of the law, even though the law didn't bring salvation, the law had symbols of what we're talking about. Now I want us to follow me quickly to Leviticus 16. I'm going to show you in a moment how even under the law, confessing sins never brought atonement. It never did. Confessing sins never brought atonement. Atonement under the Old Testament. Leviticus 16. Now you can read all that by yourself, but I'll just pick the relevant text. Am I allowed? Am I allowed? Well, I'll do it myself. Verse 3. Thus shall Aaron come into the holy place with a young bullock for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. So he said he's going to bring animals for the offering, for sin. Pay very good attention. Verse 6. He shall offer his bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, and make an atonement for himself and for his house. High priest needs high priest. You get that? Even the high priest needs a high priest. Alright. Verse 8. He shall cast lots upon the two goats, one lot for the Lord, and the other lot for the scapegoats, or goat of escape. This is where they got scapegoat from. Goat of escape means goat that will take it away. That's what it means. And Aaron shall bring the goat upon which the Lord's lot fell and offer him for a sin offering. So there are two goats. One of them, he will bring it for a sin offering. The other one, verse 10, the goat on which the Lord fell to be scapegoat or goat of escape, shall be presented alive before the Lord to make an atonement with him and let him go for a scapegoat into the wilderness. So that one will be sent into the wilderness. Now notice. These two events, now, no matter how imperfect the law was trying to teach this, these two events, or these two activities, let us know what Jesus did. Now, wait for it, for this. They speak of his death and life. See, when Jesus died, pay attention now. When he died, okay, you know, he said, the first thing you're going to do is that you're going to kill one and put his blood in the tabernacle. The other one you presented alive before the Lord. That is, they are both for sin. This one will die, this one will be alive. Then the third thing, he said, the one that is alive, you will send it to the wilderness. It's a teaching meeting, okay? Basically, what those goats typify is what Jesus did. Now, pay good attention. Now, when we talk about shedding of blood, for example, many of us think shedding of blood means when blood came out of Jesus' body. No. No. Shedding of blood doesn't mean blood coming out of your body. If that's it, that means Jesus shed his blood when he was born. Or shed his blood when he was circumcised. Or shed his blood when he was whipped by those soldiers. When he was carrying the cross, he was shedding blood. Blood was coming out of his body. Or when he was on the cross. Obviously, that's not all. In the Garden of Gethsemane, when he was praying and blood came out of his body. So, he must have shed his blood in five places. Which one of those saved you then? Are you following what I'm saying? No. Shedding of blood means to put blood on the mercy seat in the tabernacle, in the temple. You put the blood on the mercy seat. So pay good attention. Jesus, the first thing that happened, and that's exactly what happened in Aaron's case. He died. When he died, that was not the end. That was actually the beginning. And 3 days and three nights he's found in hell or Hades. Which is exactly what the goat was sent to do. Sent to a place that we don't know. And that's why whoever takes the goat there is to come in and have a bath. So he goes to a place of sin. A place of darkness. Very imperfect explanation from Levi. But then watch this. So he says, Jesus now, don't forget, there are two things the goats will do. The first goat will be killed, his blood will enter. The second goat will first of all be presented alive before the Lord in the holiest of all, then taken to the wilderness of sin. Not perfect, but they explain what Jesus did exactly. So what goes on? Jesus dies, then he is raised from there the third day. And John 27, I'm going to show that in the second service. He comes up and he sees Mary. Says, touch me not, I'm not yet ascended to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. What does he do? He now goes into heaven alive. Second goes. Are you following what I'm saying?
he goes alive. Now, because there was no way you can kill a goat and make it alive. So Aaron had to find a way to explain that Jesus will offer his blood alive in heaven. Come on, are you still there? Are you listening to what I'm saying here? So there was no way you could do that with a goat. He had to use two goats instead of one. Are you listening to me? One goat, one lamb will be on the cross. The same lamb will go to the wilderness. The same lamb will come back alive. The same lamb will appear before the Lord on our behalf. Hallelujah. Are you following what I'm saying here? So Jesus here, he dies. He is buried. Then he goes to heaven as our high priest. Go to Hebrews 9 quickly. Learning something? Hebrews 9. Hebrews 9. All things are by the law purged with blood, and without remission of shedding of blood, he's no remission. Let's take 23 together. It was therefore necessary, Hebrews 9, that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified by this. But the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifice than this. Christ is not entered where? Made with hands, so he didn't go to the temple. But where? The figures of the true, into where? Heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. So Jesus went to heaven with his blood. Don't forget, the second goat wasn't killed when he went there. His blood was right there with him. Very imperfect explanation. But here we are. Jesus goes to heaven. He's no kind of bowl of blood. My God, I'm so tired, man. He goes to heaven full man. Praise God. Hallelujah. So the blood is himself. He goes to heaven on our behalf. Alive. That's when he did what? That's when he shed his blood. What does he do? In the mercy seat, they put the blood on the seat. The high priest is different from the goat. The blood, everything is separated. But in Christ, he is the same person. Hallelujah. He is the high priest and he's the sacrifice. Praise God. So he goes in there. He doesn't put blood there because it's his own. He sits there. Hallelujah. He sits there. Glory to God. You know what? He has remained there since. I said he has remained there since. Look at something that happens before the goat is sent away. The goat that was sent to the wilderness. Look at what happens. Go to Leviticus 16. You learning something? Are you learning something? Leviticus 16 quickly. Verse 20. And when he had made, Leviticus 16. And when he had made an end of reconciling the holy place and tabernacle of congregation and the altar, he shall bring the live goat. Now watch this. This is very vital under the old covenant. And Aaron the high priest shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat and confess over him, that's the live goat, not over Aaron. Verse 21. How many? How many? How many? All the iniquities of the children of Israel. Now, do you think they're going to write it to him? And they're going to say, every family is going to come with their own. These are our own. Buddy, put it on! Say, have you forgotten this? You know, so, no. He will confess over it all the iniquities of the children of Israel. All their transgressions in all their sins. Notice the word all. Putting them upon the head of the goat. Hallelujah. Putting them where? Upon the head of a goat. Notice it says all. The word transgression is the word pesha in the Hebrew. 93 times used. Pesha means rebellion. Rebellion against God or also individuals. Everything they did. All their actions. Pesha. He'll confess it. He doesn't have to mention them. He just acknowledges them. You get it? He acknowledges them. That's the word confess. I'll come to that now. He uses the word iniquities. It's the word Avon. We've seen that last week. Avon. 231 times. Avon means punishment for sins. That means all the things that they did that required punishment. He will put it on the goat. Okay? Are you following this? Are you listening? He will confess. Now the word confess is used 414 times. Wait for this. This is key. The word confess is the word yada, the same word used for giving thanks. He will do it thankfully. He will not mourn. He will actually celebrate it. All our sins are upon you now. Everything we thought wrong, said wrong, did wrong, took wrong, everything is now on you. And he's saying it in acknowledgement in a yada, Hebrew, used for acknowledging. He's glorifying God doing it. Are you seeing what I'm saying? Are you following what I'm saying? That's the high priest. He put it on that goat. Then what does he do? He sends it where? Away. Now, what does he really send away? The goat or the sins? Thank you very much. He sends them away. So nobody should be punished for those things. Are you listening to what I'm saying? He sends them away, typifying what forgiveness of sins is today in Christ. Now, wait for this. Look at verse Leviticus 16. Are you there? 34. And this shall be an everlasting statute unto you to make atonement for the children of Israel for all their sins how many times? Once a year. In other words, it wasn't permanent. Go to Hebrews 10. Remember what Paul told Timothy? Salvation through faith which is in Christ. So that's faith. I close. Faith in His blood. Right? Faith in His sacrifice. You there? Now watch this. Hebrews 10. See how the writer of Hebrews now explains what we just read. Now, you know, if you were a Jew, you'd be saying, wow, 1 year. Whew. All the things, imagine 365 days. Whew. Then the next year, you're looking for another goat. Next scapegoat. Another lamb offering. Then in 1 year. So, the high priest will do that every year. Hebrews 10. Are you there? Are you still out there? Now, before you get to Hebrews 10, let's see verse 26, Hebrews 9. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once, hallelujah, in the end of the world, that he appeared to what? Put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. So put it unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. It's so funny, this is used for burials. This was quoted for Christ. Hallelujah. Are you following this? For Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. Unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers there unto perfect. Perfect, here's what tell you, it means to get to the end. To get to the end. When you run a race and you are through. When you do a degree and then you write your final papers. Some people may not have done it, but you get to your convocation and then you get your gown. You know that fulfillment. Are you getting my point here? So they cannot make the comers unto fulfilled. For then they would not have ceased to be offered. Because the worshippers once purged should have no more consciousness of sin. That means if that sacrifice was sufficient, they won't do it every year. They won't do it every year. Are you there? But in those sacrifices, the remembrance again made of sins every year. That means every year they will be reminded of their sins. As you think it's a good one. Oh, every year, I mean every year at least sometimes we take care of our sins. Every year you are going to be reminded again that so we have done things wrong this year. The next year again. The next year again. But look at verse 4. It is not possible. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. That the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sin. So I say it's not possible. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Are you there? Wherefore, when he comes into the world, he says, sacrifice and offering thou wilt not. But a body you have prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifice for sins thou hast no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book is written of me to do thy will, O God.
above when he said sacrifice and offering and burnt offering and offering for sin that would not, neither has pleasure then which were offered by the law. Then he said, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He takes away the first, that he might establish the second, by which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus. How many times? Once. Hallelujah. Thanks be unto God. Are you listening to this? Every high priest stands daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. Aaron did this every year because it was not permanent. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. Can we take verse 14 together? For by one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. Hallelujah. One. Not two goats. He's the same person. The same one whose blood came in. The same one who went to the wilderness of sin. The same one who appeared alive before the Lord. And he's not doing it every year. Hallelujah. In other words, watch this. The confession for sins will be done once by this high priest. Are you hearing this? There's only one confession. And that's the one you did when you got saved. Are you hearing this? Are you hearing this? Just once. If the offering is once, the confession is once. The faith is once. The believing is once. Hallelujah. Are you hearing what I'm saying this morning? Forgiveness, therefore, is in this act of Christ, not in your confession. It's received by faith in Christ. When you believe, a defense comes on your behalf. Glory to God. A defense comes on your behalf once and for all. That means you cannot be more perfect than you were when you got saved. You are perfected once and for all. You are not going anywhere anymore. There's no requirement needed anymore. This is what Paul was telling Timothy. You have become so skillful. You know how to explain this. Salvation through faith in Christ. John 3:16, then we close. You learning something? Glory to God. When I read things like this, I'm just, there's no way you will have a bad day. Hallelujah. There's no way you will think about this and then your mind is not filled with joy. Hallelujah. There's no way you will hear this. And somebody said five ways to pray. How? There are no five steps to prayer. Hallelujah. I have been perfected once and forever. Hallelujah. There are no six steps. There's 7 steps to glorify God. There are no 7 steps. Hallelujah. And so you see that the practice of confessing sins is anti-New Testament. Now, there's nothing wrong in admitting you're wrong. But know that it does nothing to your righteousness. It doesn't add to it. It doesn't take away from it. It doesn't make it expand. John 3, are you still there? Verse 16, praise God. For God so loved the world, I love the start from 15. He says that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life or eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Glory to God. For God sent not his son to the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believes on him is not condemned. Hallelujah. Remember that word? He's not coming to make distinctions. Crino. And when you believe, you can never come to judgment again. John 5:24. Till he that believes on he that sent me, he that hears my word and believes on he that sent me, shall not come again to condemnation. For he has passed from death to life. Say, I have passed from death to life. I don't come to judgment in Christ Jesus. So John 3:36 now says, he that believes on the Son has everlasting life. He that believes not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides in him. Say, I have everlasting life.
Now watch this. You know what that means? Look at what we just read. We're sanctified forever. We are perfected forever. This everlasting life simply means everlasting forgiveness. That's what it means. That this forgiveness is everlasting. It doesn't deplete. You have used your forgiveness. You have overused it. Check your account balance. Minus the blood of Christ. Once and for all. Hallelujah. So salvation is through faith. Where? In Christ. So we must master this. Glory to God. You must understand it. You must master it. You must understand. You must know it. You must be skillful at it. Glory to His name. I said glory to His name. So what is our confession? Our confession is Christ Jesus. Glory to God. And what He has done for us today. Amen. We'll continue next week. Lift your hands toward heaven. Give God praise. Thank you. Give Him all the glory. Thank you, Lord Jesus.